Well, good evening, everybody. And today's number, boys and girls, is the number?
7.
All right. Well, as we start into the number 7 tonight, let's see here. The first use of the number, if you look in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 7, the first Old Testament occurrence of this number, it says, "And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters." And the first New Testament occurrence up here is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 45. "Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." The word seven here occurs, it says 463 times in 391 verses. Can I tell you something about this second occurrence here? This is talking about somebody over there that a evil spirit left them. They were possessed, and it left. For whatever reason, it left. And when it came back, it found it the person that left all swept and garnished. Everything was all cleaned up from the mess it made. Kind of like you teenagers. Amen and amen and amen. And when it came back, it saw everything was all cleaned up, so it brought seven more back with it. You ever wonder how somebody can straighten out, seemingly just turn their life around, and then all of a sudden it gets worse? And everybody goes, "I don't understand why." Could it be? Could it be? Could it be that? Well, it's very possible, ain't it? Yep. You let Alcoholics Anonymous explain that one to you. Oh, he fell off the wagon or jumped on the wagon or whatever it is they do. I don't forget which one. Which one is it? Y'all remember? You fell off the wagon. That's it. You fell off the wagon. Ain't no wagon here. That's the work of the devil. What's he doing? Ruining your life. Ruining your life. Now watch this one. We see as we look the meanings of the number. The first meaning, of course, is completeness. In Genesis 7, God brings his judgment on the whole world. And it's the seventh verse of that chapter that Noah and his family and all the animals enter in the ark and wait 7 days before God destroys the earth. Only a remnant saved. And with the old world done away, God is ready to start a new world in 7 chapters. So I wonder how he feels right now. We ain't got that bad yet. Right. I read where Jesus said before he comes, it'll be like the days of Lot, the days of Noah. We ain't got that bad yet. We're bad. We just ain't got that bad. Right. But we're almost there. Yeah. And that's shame to us. Yeah. We shouldn't even be close to that.
Right.
But notice also, when we talk about the meanings of the number, we got the occurrences of the number here. Enoch was the seventh from Adam in Genesis chapter 5. Moses was the seventh from Abraham. Then we got in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, a sevenfold blessing. God said to Abraham, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Here's how that works out. Did God make a great nation of them? Oh, yeah. And listen to this. Though they're one of the smaller nations, they're also one of them that you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
When Adolf Hitler tried to exterminate the Jews, he had a cover going on ahead of him so you didn't know what he was doing. It was called World War II. He invaded places in particular where Jews were, captured them, took them to concentration camps, and the plan was to get rid of them. And for some strange reason, unbeknownst to him and everybody else, he failed. "I will make of thee a great nation." Did God do that with them? Well, he brought them right through that with a loss of 6 million people. They were scattered amongst the world. And of course, the reason being is why you can't get rid of them at that next phrase, "And I will bless thee." It's funny how if you go to New York and you go down and find the richest banker in town, he's a something wits, you know. or Stein at the end of his name. How'd he get that way? He's born like that. He can't help it. God's blessings on them people. So are you saying, preacher, that if you're a Jew, you're automatically saved? Never said that. Everybody's got to be saved. But God said he had blessed these people. I will bless thee. How do you think that a guy like Jacob, who is a trickster and all other stuff, wound up walking into a place, marrying a guy's daughter? The guy tricked him, made him work 7 more years for another one, and yet he still walked off with most of the guy's money and both his daughters. Had to happen some way, didn't it? I will bless thee. No strings attached. I'll bless you. And then he says, and make thy name great. You can't go nowhere without running into one of their names. Say, I got you, preacher. I'll fix you. I'll go to the horror movies and that'll fix you. You won't see him there. You ever heard the name Frankenstein? What do you think that name is? Just by chance, would you care to wager on that one? Listen. You turn around, you see something that's attached to him. Or it's like a doctor I ran into in Greenville. He looks like a Jew. His hair looks Jewish. His skin looks Jewish. He's an older doctor, so he don't want people to catch what he is. But he's got this last name, Abrams. Doctor, are you a Jew? No, I'm just over here in America, just here. I don't know where my people come from. What kind of house you live in, doctor? Oh, I bet. I bet all our houses together, we could fit them all into his probably, you know. Yeah. Not because he's a doctor, by the way. Not all doctors live like that. How do they get like that? Somebody said in the past, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make thy name great. Yeah. Dr. Carter, when he was diagnosed with cancer, they sent him up there to North Carolina, the university up there, and they were going to treat his cancer. He walks in the door. Guess what's going to operate on him? A Jewish doctor. 230 pounds, come out like 145, and guess what? He lived through the surgery, and cancer didn't kill him. How'd that happen? You say, I don't know. The doctor's pretty good. Yeah, he had a great name behind him. He's the best doctor that done that, of all things. Isn't that something? We'll make thy name great. I wonder if we look at some of these inventions around the room that has changed our life totally. I wonder if we see Shem, Ham, or Japheth behind them things. You'll find that Shem had a son. He had a son. He had a son. And they had Abraham. God said, I'll make thy name great, and it's still great.
Right.
Ain't that precious tonight?
Amen.
If God can keep that promise way back then to those people, imagine what he can do for you in the New Testament, those promises he's given you. He can still do it. He said, watch this. And thou shalt be a blessing. So them people are blessing us. You better believe it. We wouldn't have some of the vaccines we got. We'd have half of us would be dead if it wouldn't been for a Jewish doctor coming up with some of these things. We'd have never made it out of the dark ages without the Jewish doctors. Because somebody finally figured out that every doctor that treated the black plague that was a Gentile doctor died, and the Jewish doctors lived, and most of their patients did. They went to him and said, what are you doing different? So I don't know. Can we watch you do what you do? You know what they discovered? Them Jews was taking a thing of water with them when they went somewhere. When they get through touching that patient, they'd pour running water over their hands and wash off before they touch the next one. Can you imagine the duh on the faces of them Gentiles? Duh. Didn't think of that. By the way, they said the world was flat to them same doctors. The Jewish doctor said, no, he's round like the Bible says. One of them was right on both accounts.
Amen.
Isn't it funny how that stuff's in the Bible, been there the whole time, and then all of a sudden these Johnny-come-latelys say, oh, well, we knew that the whole time. Well, you said billions of years ago God created the flat earth, if I remember correctly. Because they all believed that back then. Now listen, he said, thou shalt be a blessing. Have they been a blessing to you today?
Amen.
Look at this. He said, I will bless them that bless thee. Go look at your countries around the world. One nation right now stands behind Israel. One. This is the only nation I have seen in this world where they're fighting and dying to get in this place. It's only one. I met a man years ago I worked with at Phoenix Finishing, little Cuban guy about this tall, could pitch a baseball 90 miles an hour. He was 50-something years old. I said, where you come from? Cuba. So I got this guy over there named Hector to translate for me, because I wanted to ask him, I said, you just didn't come from Cuba. Come to find out, he's one of them guys Castro let loose in 79 that Carter let come in. They got together on everything they could and made makeshift boats and floated to Miami down there. His best friend was eaten by a shark right in front of him. They're dying to get here. Dying to get here. So why would that be like that? Because there's something about this country that's not like all the rest. There's something here. You know what it is? I'm going to take a guess. This place has had the touch of God on it for a long time. So America ain't that good compared to anything else. Tell me what you got. You think we got problems with this sodomite business? The rest of the world's had problems with it. And just for the record, some of these countries over there, they got laws that if they find out you are one, you won't be one after they find out.
Right.
So what do they do? Do they send you to a psychological evaluation? Yeah, it's called the guillotine. They psychologically evaluate you, no longer need your head if you're going to use it in that matter. Remember that the next time you wear your little genetical hat there, you know.
Yep.
Remember that the next time you go to a sporting event and you look around and see every woman's face instead of seeing this.
Yep.
Had a wrestling event on Friday in Saudi Arabia. They panned the crowd. If you saw a woman, this is what you saw. Ain't that something? Thank God for America.
Amen.
By the way, them people hate Jews. Every one of them. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, all them countries right around it. They'd put them off in the water if they could, but they can't.
Right.
They can't. And every nation that stands with them, us, has been blessed.
Yeah.
Do you know, personally, I believe this. You know what got us the president we got versus the one we could have had? He said, I'll line up with Israel. I'll line up with Israel. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. Now, is Genesis before Exodus in your Bible?
Yeah.
Who cursed them in Exodus? Some guy named Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. After Joseph died a few hundred years later, and he cursed those people, he said, and put them in slavery and done all that. Guess what? They still flying in Cairo to this day. You go over to Egypt, you look over there, you find out God blessed one side of the border, another side he didn't bless.
Yep.
Looks like it's been cursed.
Yep.
You ever wonder why they got all them pictures of all them, what they call them, thing, a sphinx and a pyramid and all them things, and they look weather-worn? They ain't got the money to keep them up. They ain't got nobody to stand out there and guard and take care of them things like they could. Why? God cursed that place.
Yep.
They cursed to this day. And all the nations that line up against them, they all line up the same way. Do you remember back in the 1990s we had a war with a country? You remember what that country was? What was the name of it?
Iraq.
Iraq. There was a guy over the country of Iraq. What was his name again?
Saddam Hussein.
Why were we in a war with him?
He invaded Kuwait.
He invaded Kuwait and started firing missiles at?
Israel.
I heard he got off scot-free for that. Until George Jr. went over there and found him hiding in a hole, and they pulled him out, and then the Iraqi people said, we got this.
Yeah.
They gave him a trial. I thought, man, that's pretty nice of them people. I knew how it was going to end anyway, because once they find you on that side of the chair, you're probably going to get it.
Yeah.
He cussed them, cussed God and everybody else on the way to the gallows, and then they killed him. He cussed to his last breath. You know who he hated? Use. He hated us. Why did he hate us? We don't have a dog. Oh, wait, yeah, we do. We helped them, so he hates us too. His plan was similar to Adolf's. He was going to start taking over things, and he figured out Kuwait had all that oil and make them rich. Only one problem, he started shooting at Israel while he's doing it. What'd God do to him? Swing low them gallows. And then he says this in the last part of verse 3 here, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. You know how we're blessed by them? Whether you know this or not, Jesus was born and he came to his own and his own received him not. Jesus was a Jew. You have a Jewish Savior. Isn't that cool? But it gets better. Look at Romans chapter 3. Is it Romans chapter 3 or chapter 2? I'll show you something else too. Romans chapter 3. You have a Jewish Savior, and your Jewish Savior doesn't think like a Gentile. He's got the Jewish mindset, right? When the Gentile woman come up and said, Lord, will you heal my son? He said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles. I'm sent to the lost house of Israel. She said, but dogs get the crumbs. I'm just a Gentile dog. He said, be it so. Be it so. And in your Bible, Romans chapter 3, I'm going to show you this. Verse 2. It says, much every way, chiefly, because that unto them, talking about the Jew in verse 1, were committed the oracles of God. That phrase, the oracles of God, refers to the Bible that you got in your hand. The scriptures. When you're trying to figure out who wrote what book of the Bible, just know this. If you can't find the human author's name, God wrote it by inspiration through somebody, right? But mark this down, it was a Jewish man, whoever it was. Because here's the striking thing in it that really gets me. When you can find the author's name attached to it, it's always a Jewish man. And the ones you can, it's probably one of them guys. We just don't know. There's some things you'll never find out. I've heard, this one wrote that and that wrote this. Sometimes you can see a verse for it. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes people just say that. But the bottom line of the bottom line of the bottom line is this. God wrote this book and he used that nation. And this book has been nothing but a blessing to people. Right. You go to a country where they practice the principles of God's book. You find a nation being blessed. Who gave us the book? God did. How did he do it? Through that Jew. You go to, listen to this. You want to hear something really fun? Ask them tomorrow in school if Common Core worked out for them. Any public school teacher. They're going to say that's the biggest failure they've ever seen. You ever wondered why that thing was pushed on us with all that? Y'all ever wondered? I found out. I read an article on it. Bill Gates funded it. And it didn't work. Bill Gates is not a Jew. Common Core didn't work. So we're back to 2 plus 2 equals 4 instead of whatever they said it was. You can't change math. Math's an absolute truth. Remember that absolute truth versus the other crowd, you know? You get this book, and you apply the principles of this book, and you read this before your school every day, I promise you, in a generation, you won't have school shooters there. Well, that's just your belief. Okay, let's just check and see if my belief's right. When did we quit and when did we start having shootings? They used to read this book in school. You might have got a chapter or a passage or whatever. They'd read it. They'd pray. And after they took it out of schools, a lot of the southern schools still did it. But don't you find it awful odd that the first major state in the Union here that had a infamous school shooting was also one of the first states to legalize marijuana. You ever put those two things together? All the families of the earth be blessed. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, if we keep this book as the forefront and guide of our nation, the guide of our schools, the guide of our homes, and over this one, the guide of our churches, you'll find something blessed. You find a church where they don't have this as the forefront and the guide of the thing, we'll tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find a bunch of people trying to sell merchandise, T-shirts, personalities, and sell you a hot dog every time you turn around. You'll find a promotion every other week trying to get you there. You'll find catchphrases of people trying to get you there. Why? They're thinking like a Gentile trying to make a Gentile church when our boss was a Jewish carpenter. He didn't say, listen to this. It goes back to that same old thing we hear over and over out of the Bible, and you hear it from good preachers. Here it is. The Bible tells us that by the foolishness of preaching that people get saved.
Right.
He didn't say promotions. He said preaching.
Yeah.
And what you're going to find is, ever so often, you're going to find a church somewhere where somebody there will say, we're going to follow God, we're going to follow His Word, and they're going to be blessed by that Jew through a Jewish book about a Jewish Savior, and God's going to bless them. How do you think we got the lights on? How'd that happen? It ain't magic. How'd it happen? God did it. We put some Jewish scriptural principles to pass there. Watch this one. All the families there should be blessed. The sevenfold purpose of Jehovah God, in Exodus chapter 6. Look at this, verse 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. Could you imagine being a slave, a real slave? You don't get to go home. You don't get to do what you want to do. You don't get to pick your job. They come and get you and say, we want you over here. You doing this. You get the bricks. But my back hurts. Get out there. If you say something twice, you get the whip. Say it a third time, they just cut your tongue out. Oh, you might bleed to death. Oh, we're sorry. Get another one of them. There's plenty of them. Imagine living like that. They go through all that, and they're under those burdens. They're building all this stuff. They're doing all this stuff. They're slaves. And God says, what? I will bring you out. You know why that's in your Bible? So you know that the burdens you under and the things you under the promises of God, He's going to bring you out of that. What you tied under? Guess what? He can untie it. You ever seen somebody tie them knots nobody can untie? God can untie them. So what are you talking about? Meth, cocaine, all that stuff. God's the only one to get you out of that. Any other method will fail, but God said, I'll bring you out of it.
Right.
So are you sure about that? I don't, that's just the Old Testament Jew right there. Have you looked at Romans chapter 8? Look at Romans chapter 8. We over in Romans. I got your verse for Exodus up here. Romans chapter 8. If you'll notice down here, several places here. He says, if you look down at verse number 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus, raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye lived after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what's that word there? Abba, Father. What God has for us compared to what the world has for us and the devil has for us and the flesh has for us is that God says, I'll get you out.
Amen.
You're not under bondage no more.
Right.
You can't be bound to it.
Right.
Wouldn't it be dumb for you to go up here to county jail and tell our sheriff, I want to be locked up? Well, what have you done? You know everybody's done crime. And let's say he said, well, you know what? Let's just lock you up. And they lock you up. And they take you back there. And there you are. And you got Big Bubba over here. And you got Sneaky Charlie over here. And some guy named Dimebag over here. And all these other guys around you. And there you are sitting there. And you say, hey, guys, let's get together and do something. And all of a sudden, the guard says, hup, count time. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? He makes, but we was talking. Too bad. Oh, it's bedtime. Everybody goes, but I'm not sleepy. I was wanting to watch some more TV. Don't get to do that. Hey, I sure am getting hungry in here. Y'all gonna feed us? Sure are. Here's a piece of fried bologna, stale bread, and a glass of water. Eat up. Don't forget to say your blessing now. And you said, I couldn't stand that. That's why nobody ain't lining up to go. That's why everybody wants out. You listen, you got a bunch of people there that have been told no, that's being told no every day, and they don't like it. I said, but I like McDonald's. They don't care. They also like Burger King. It ain't their way. It ain't your way. It's their way. They don't care. But you're in there voluntarily. You can leave anytime you want to. Why would you stay there? You wouldn't. So you tell me how saved people stay in a mess all the time and don't never get out of it. I think the answer is in a two-letter word in that verse we just read. It said it over and over. If. And every time it has to do with this. If the Spirit be in you, the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you, what will God do? He'll bring you out. Look up here, we got this one. He says, and I will rid you out of their bondage. He said, I'll rid you out of it. You don't have to go back in it ever again. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Did he do that? Well, if we read the rest of the book of Exodus, how many plagues did he put on them? One for every one of their gods. And every one of their gods had an attachment to it of something that God did in those plagues to identify with that God so they'd know he was greater. Just for you, there was a frog god. Had a plague of frogs. I mean, the whole thing. Why did God do that? Because he's greater. It was a testimony against them because he's fulfilling the promise, I will redeem you. I'll bring you out of that. He says now in verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people. Now all of a sudden things have changed. Now they ain't going to be able to be touched. They're God's people. If you were one of the neighboring nations around them. Now remember, God just took out the world power of the day in Egypt. Took them out one closing of the waters there. All the rest of them nations, after Joshua got over there, they didn't say, where'd you come from? You know what they said? We know who you are. We know you God's people. How'd they know that? They didn't even have a Bible. They had no internet, but yet they knew all that. It says, I will take you, people. I will be to you a God. Did God do that for them? Fiery cloud by night, pillory cloud by day, shoes that never wore out, and food. 80 tractor trailer carloads of food for one meal he fed them every day. Which brings you to these people that's coming up from South America. How were they eating again? Do you know how much it takes to feed 10,000 people one meal? Tell me how they packed all that to get as far as they got. Or did they? Hey, let me tell you something. You know what you're going to find out when you go to Mexico? How many of y'all have ever been to Mexico before? You've been in Mexico. 1, 2, 3. Are tacos free in Mexico? Hey, you going to pay something for them. You ain't got no dineros, you don't get no tacos. I heard somebody tell me it's cheaper down there. Well, if you ain't got no money, that don't matter. Somebody's feeding them people. We find out over here, God took the people out there and said, oh, no Hardee's, no problem. No problem at all. Well, God, we'll starve to death. We want them leeks and garlics and onions. You don't need them. Here, get this manna from heaven. It tastes like chicken. Amen and amen. I look down. He says, I'll be to you a God, verse 8, and I will bring you into the land. Did he do that? Had somebody tell me that Moses was the worst navigator in human history. Said he took an 8-day journey. Took him 40 years to get there. Only one problem. Moses wasn't navigating. They were following that cloud. Yeah. Say, well, then God's the worst navigator. Watch your mouth. God wasn't the worst navigator. He got rid of everybody that walked in that little thing that didn't believe in him in 40 years' time. Two guys come out of Egypt that got to walk in the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. Why? When they went out to spy out the land, they said, this is the place. All the rest of them said, I don't know, we need to get a committee together. Because the results of this committee is 10-2, we're not going to do it. So we need to get another committee to study the works of the committee to find out whether we can do it. They said, well, if you want to do it that way. God said, that's fine, we'll do it that way. I ain't got nothing but time. How about 40 years, everybody? You, Joshua, or you, Caleb, you thinking, why are these people doing this? Didn't they see the Red Sea part over there? Didn't they see those plagues over there? Did they not think God can take care of this? No, they didn't. He didn't do all those things in Egypt because they believed he'd done it to fulfill the promise he said. And we see there, he said, I'll bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. Somehow or another, they still got it. So wait a minute, they got thrown off land, but they still got it. It's still theirs. And you're going to find out here in the not too distant future when Christ returns, they're getting all their land back.
Right.
Can I tell you this tonight without apology? There'll be no Palestinian state when he shows up.
Amen.
There'll be no borders over there that they'll have missiles on every border pointing towards Israel when he comes back.
Right.
He's going to thump all the missiles back at them. They're going to try to fight him, but it ain't going to work. Why? He's got to give them a heritage. He promised them all the way back in Exodus chapter 6. And he, listen, God's never, never a debtor to no man or to any nation. Watch this. Leviticus chapter 14, he says, and he shall sprinkle upon them, that is to be cleansed from leprosy, not six times, not eight times, seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Isn't that something? How'd that go about there, reckon? You reckon he did that thing just like that? Well, if you want to rid of leprosy, there's two ways to do it. Die or do that. Say, but you didn't have to believe. It don't say believe. It says it's what you got to do here. I think we got a guy in the Bible that went down and put himself in water seven times. Did he come up with leprosy or without it? We call him Naaman the leper, right? Why don't we call him that? He didn't have leprosy after that. Did he? Who did that? God did that. Associated with number seven. Number for divine completeness. Check this out. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 days in a week. What do you get when you start the next one, the new week? I heard y'all playing these instruments. I heard a guy strumming a guitar. Guess how many notes is on them? God, the guy playing the guitar don't even know. Seven. You play by ear though, right? That's good, good. Is that right? So what about them black keys? Those are sharps and flats of one note. How about that? And I look there, he says that there's seven New Testament epistles written to seven churches. That's in your Bible. How'd that get there? It's just a coincidence, right? Well, we got a lot of coincidences, don't we? Here's some special uses of the number. First off, the Bible begins with the seventh day being completeness. We've been preaching through Genesis chapter 1. We're up the third day. Spoiler alert, seventh day is going to be the last one. We start, so he says, that's it. Creation's done. Okay, so we have the seventh day being the complete day of the first week. The Bible ends with seven bowls, seven vials, seven trumpets, seven candlesticks, seven spirits, and seven churches. Isn't that something? Completeness. And the divine book has the number seven attached all over it. There's seven members to your body. Seven members, that's all you got. There's seven colors. Just seven. I had a fellow show me one time on, I think it was called Microsoft Paint. Y'all remember that old program? It was back years ago. He said, look at all these colors. And it's like had little bitty squares where you could click on one and, you know, get the thing to go do this, whatever. And I got to looking at it, and when I backed up and looked at it, all I saw was seven colors. There's all the little blocks, and you put them on, and you back away from them, you see they're all just shades of off one color each. By the way, you ever work in a dye house before? Tell me, do they have more than seven colors there? Because if they go to color number eight, they had to take one of them other two to make it, or three. Ain't that cool? It's like God knew this stuff the whole time. Seven. Look at this. Seven whole notes on a musical scale. And then we got this strange phrase here, Book of Life. Y'all ever heard that before? Would you believe that appears seven times in the book of Revelation? Let's look at them. First one's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. It says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Did you see I will not blot his name out of the book of life? The book of life. So how do I get in heaven? You either make the book or you don't make the book on this one. Remember we were talking about how cool it was to make the phone book? This is more important. Some of y'all don't even know what a phone book is. Bless your heart. You come along and listen. Some of you older people come along with this 411 and they didn't charge for it. And you could dial 411. You need a phone book. I come from a generation we had white pages and yellow pages. Oh, and this just in, we didn't have a 911. You had to have, there was numbers, yeah, there's a little section on the back of the phone book where you wrote in the sheriff's number and the city police number and the ambulance number in case you needed one of them guys. They didn't have call waiting back then either, so I hope if your emergency happens, they're not on the phone. Call up there and the guy's on the phone going, give me Thelma Lou. You trying to get through there, you got a guy break, give me Thelma Lou. Oh, boy. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. I'm talking about the Antichrist during that time, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who's going to receive that mark during the tribulation? Everybody that's not in God's book. He's going to get everybody that's not in there. The whole crowd that's alive. We find out over here in Revelation 17:8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. People are not written where? Book of life. Now watch this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. How many books you see there? I see first off, it says, and the books were open, right? There's more than one. And another book was open. So we got there's books and another book, which is the book of life, right? And it said they were judged according to things written in the books, the first set. You know, we talk about, and we say this reverently, that this is God's book, right? It's the Bible, the Holy Bible, God's book. Do you know it's the first thing you find out right after you get saved? I mean, you may know it before, but it'll hit you after you read the Revelation. We see books. This is 66 books. How did God say man will be judged when he's lost and he dies and goes to hell and then he has to stand before him? What books he judged out of? It's not the books of thoughts, words, deeds. No, it's these books. You know the one that says you must be born again? They'll judge him according to that. He'll say, but I didn't get born again. He says, that's why you're here. Well, can I go to hell and burn forever? No, wait, we got some more. We're going to start at Genesis and go all the way to Revelation. We're going to judge you out of one of them books. Now, you think somebody sins every once in a while and everybody's okay? Jesus died for everything called sin. Yeah. You reject Jesus Christ, you get the book thrown at you. Right. The whole thing. Well, won't there be any grace? Not at that judgment. You rejected that, remember. You said no to Jesus Christ. You said no to God's face. You said no to God's Son. No to God's Scriptures. And you don't need any of that. God says, fine, we'll just judge you out of everything written therein. Yeah. But I want this judgment to be fair. It will be. He'll read something off and you'll think to yourself, well, that's not what it's interpreted to me meaning, and that won't matter.
Right.
Listen to this. This guy that was a chaplain over in Spartanburg one time called me to come preach for a guy to fill in for somebody. I didn't know who it was. I just left my number one day and said, if you need somebody to preach, I'll come preach. So you never know what you're going in on that deal. We show up in the chapel and you'll never guess what I found. Two guys that I thought had been out of prison for years, still in there. I ain't like him. I don't get to go in the yard. They don't let me. They say I'm a danger and risk. I can't do that. I don't have the clearance, you know. I don't know why. I'm not near as tall as him or big as him. I don't have nearly the strength, but then I'm a troublemaker, you know. But anyway, here's them two guys. And they got every chair in the chapel moved out of the way and in a big ring of a circle for about 8 or 10 people. And they look at me and I look at them. I said, I thought you boys got out of prison. And they looked at me and both of them about the same time. I said, why are you here? I said, who was you expecting? Oh, Sister Doris such and such of the holiness living something, you know. And I looked at him and I said, so we need to put the chair. I said, need to put the chairs back like it was. He said, we're not going to sit around and have a tell everybody what everybody thinks about the Bible. I said, not tonight. We're not doing a dialogue tonight. We're doing a monologue.
Yeah.
And we're not going to tell what I think about it either. We're going to tell what it says.
Right.
I ain't never seen two people more uncomfortable in my life. Mm-hmm. It's like bringing in Jesse on election day. There's more sweat and wind on that day with antiperspirant on, I'm telling you. I'll never forget that. I'm serious. I thought the guys had been let out and everything. No, they'd been there the whole time. Was it something I said? Hey, listen to me. You don't want to face this book now? That's fine. You want to die without Jesus? God said, that's fine. I love you. I'll let you choose. But you will see it again. All these fake Christians that go to church where they sell moon pies and everything to get money, you know what's going to happen? Guess. He's going to have a bill waiting for him. Remember, they've been faking Christian. They're not saved. He's going to have a bill on the top of it to say Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10. And it's going to show every 10% of every paycheck and every dollar ever went in their hand. And they're going to say this, I didn't believe in tithing. God's going to say, I don't care. I was still requiring it. Me and Brother Kirsch had a teacher in college. You know what that dude believes? He believes if you lost, you owe 10% of your check every time you get one. And I thought about that and thought about that, and I thought, that's for saved people. Mm-mm, that ain't for saved people. That's the law. That's the thing God put out there. You don't want to pay it? Fine. You know what? He'll collect it. So I don't believe the law is purchased tithe. Guess what? Don't matter. They owe it. Say, preacher, what happens if you save and you miss one? Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, because I missed 24 years worth before I got saved. Hey, listen, God's going to bring all that back to him. Watch this one. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Do you know how many things they had to be guilty of over here to get there? Just one. But for everybody to know God's fair, he's going to give them the whole chance through the whole book. You ever heard somebody say, well, I'll be this good and I'm probably this bad? And it'll... That's why he does it. He wants to show you you're not as good as you think you are. And he's going to show the universe you're not as good as you think you are. Because guess who's going to be at this judgment? Everybody. Well, you know, my grandma, she thinks I'm pretty good. She'll be there too. She'll be on one side or the other. They won't be nobody laughing at you while you're having this judgment. They'll be crying too. There'll be pastors that set up in that thing that's saved. We'll have to watch church members that was lost that never heard the gospel. Because they're too busy rocking on their hobby horse or whatever it was. Never heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but they heard how they need to brush their teeth and take a bath. Wow. You know where they'll be? They'll be sitting there and listen. They'll be sitting there saved by the skin of their teeth, having to watch that, and then people look at them, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Can you imagine somebody that stood up there and they got saved and they was around a crowd that didn't know better and they sent them off to the cemetery. They come back with a New American Standard in one hand and 5 points of Calvinism in their head and feet that run quickly to mischief. They're saved by the skin of their teeth and they stand up there before a congregation of people. They said, God's going to save whoever wants to anyway. This ain't going to be a pleasant picture. He said that their name was not found in what book?
Book of Life.
Yeah. See, the sad thing is, if you're not written in that book, don't matter where your name appears after that.
Right.
You get judged out of the books, and if your name's not written in the Book of Life. And listen to this. Revelation 21, verse 27. It says, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me ask you a question. This is a hot button topic around America right now. Do sodomites go to heaven? I'm going to answer this question with the Bible. Does God call sodomites and what they do an abomination? Then I look in that verse again. It says, neither whatsoever worketh abomination won't be there.
Right.
You won't have that in heaven. It ain't going to be there. It says, or maketh a lie.
Right.
Watch this. God puts both of them in the same place. Well, I'm not that bad. I might tell a lie once in a while. You're going to be in hell with sodomites.
Yeah.
rubbing all up against them forever and burning and in torments. Sorry to ruin your Sunday dinner, folks, but that's the way it's going to be. Or maketh a lie. And it says that anything that defileth. Can you imagine this crowd that says, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. They got a Budweiser in hand. Well, he sure wasn't making beer that day.
Right.
Yet all the people that tries to take up for it, they're out drinking liquor and beer.
Yep.
Yeah. They're going to be there. Why? Not because they're drinking. It's because they defiled the Lord Jesus Christ by saying he made Boone's Farm.
Yeah.
That's blasphemous. That defiles the name of God. So who does that? According to this, people's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, preacher, you're saying people aren't saved. I haven't said that yet. But God did.
No.
See, that's what troubles me, is every time you get to preaching something like this, people accuse you of being judgmental. Can I let you in on a secret? I'm going to tell you how to get out of this here in a minute. Wouldn't that be cool to find out, hey, you don't have to go here with this? That wouldn't be somebody judgmental. That'd be my best friend. Is that the last one on your list? That's 7 of 7, right? Is there one more? So it gets worse from here, right? Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which are written in this book. What's God going to do? What's the last one about? Let's read that again. And if any man shall take away from the words. So if we go into God's book and we take away a word from here, he didn't say you were saved and now you're going to be lost. He said your name was over here, but I'm taking the place where your name could have been written there. You're not. You're dooming yourself. Ah, preacher, you know, that's just so mean. You got to take it in context, man. That's just the book of Revelation. Watch this. You mean to tell me you're going to take the name of Jesus out of Revelation and going to tell me that's just applying to Revelation? Well, let's just say it is Revelation. You going to take the blood out of Revelation too? They do. But what if you're wrong? What if the context is the whole book? Because there's two other places in the Bible that says similar things about not messing with this book. One at the front door, one at the side door, and here's one at the back door. Comparing scripture with scripture, don't mess with God's book. See how he says this? He shall take away his part out of the book of life.
Yeah.
That very place they could have their name written down and been in glory forever, God says, nope. You're not going to make it. You won't believe the very words I gave you so you can get saved. Hey, listen, it's by this book you got saved. Somebody preached that book. They didn't bounce you off a bouncy house into a bowl of lemon pudding. There you was saying, well, I just think I'll get saved. These people are so nice and fun. But he said, by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? We got to run that word through the Bible and find out what he commands the preacher. Preach the word. So where are we living at? The next verse. You know what happens in the next verse? They will not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So what's that teacher do? He scratches them itching ears. You know what I do if my back gets to scratching? It gets to itching me. I say, honey, you scratch my back? And she'll dig in there like a cat, boy. Can you imagine how these people feel? They got a lion up there in the pulpit that's not of the tribe of Judah, waiting to devour them. Reverend Satan, will you scratch my ear? God said he didn't find no humor in it all. He said it's so serious to him. You mess with his book, he'll go up out that book of life and lose that part where he could have wrote your name. You're not predestined to hell. You do this, you seal your doom, though. I've heard people give different opinions and things and teachings out of this, but the one thing that really gets me, he said that it says this, it says to take away his part out of the book of life, and this thing right here, out of the holy city. and from the things which are written in this book. He's not talking about losing anything. You ain't never got it.
Right.
See, this is inheritance here. You got to be part of the family to get this.
Right.
He's saying you're never going to be part of the family. You never were part of the family. So how do you know that? It's this place over in Matthew 7 that keeps getting everybody. You know what it is? It ain't verse 1.
Just not, be not judging.
No. It's that part over there about that straight and narrow and that broad way that leads to destruction. But somewhere between the judgment and that thing right there, there's a thing about false prophets shows up there and false believers. Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Lord, did we not cast out devils in thy name? He says, I never knew you.
Right.
That mean I knew you one day and I forgot you. Or I choose to no longer remember you. So I never knew you.
Right.
You ever had somebody come up and say, don't I know you? There won't be none of that.
Right.
He didn't know you. You're not his.
Right.
Now, I've got a question for you up here. I want to ask you, is your name written there?
Yes.
See, the only way your name is written there is simply this. You have to trust what he said in this book and ask him for his forgiveness based on one thing. The fact that you are a sinner and you are dying and going to hell. Once God shows you the realization of that thing and the realization of everlasting punishment that'll go on forever, then you can turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm hopeless and helpless. What can I do? You know what God will do? He'll show you that 2,000 years ago, he provided the solution to the whole problem. And the solution wasn't getting baptized. If it was getting baptized, we wouldn't have a church. We'd have a pond, amen. You'd just come to the front door and I'd throw you in. Simple enough. It wasn't sacraments. You know why? Half of you wouldn't keep them. True story. And if it was something else, church attendance, well, we'd all fail there. We'd been out for some reason or another. See, back when I was 25 and healthy, I preached you was going to hell if you didn't come to church all the time, because I come to church all the time. Now I'm 49, I've had to miss a few times with sickness and disease and surgeries and everything else. Now I believe in the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Is that right? I've seen the toughest guys in this church laid up in the hospital. What were they doing there? They're human. Something broke. Had to get it fixed. So don't worry, preacher. I won't let that happen. Yeah, you will. Either that or you have something happen to you, heart attack, stroke, something. You'll have something happen. So we can't rely on that to get us there. Maybe we go to the right church. What if that don't matter either? Jesus said this, you must be born again. You must be born again. How you get born again? God shows you a sinner. God reveals that to you. You turn to him, and you go to the only salvation plan God accepts, and that's the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross with him rising from the dead the third day. By the way, here's something cool to think about. If you got 3, and 7 is a number for divine completeness, what's left over? 4. Wouldn't it be cool if we took the number 4 and found out what it meant again? The world. So God didn't sit in heaven and say, do this or else. He came into his own received him not. God, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. He's divinely complete. The plan the whole time was God would provide himself a lamb. He died for your sins that you may live forever. Are you willing to trust him tonight? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.